Jimmy and Sparky have been going at it for 3 hours, but haven't crashed and burned yet.
Well, it's the big show.
It's time for the guys to reset the big topics from today's big show and let you pick a lane.
Pick a Lane, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, where the 2018 racing season continues. Go to GreatLakesDragaway.com for the season schedule, daily track updates, and to purchase discounted ticket packages.
It is that time here on the Wendy's Big Show. We're along with the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Anthony Mandela, along with intern Mother Plucker. On the other side of the glass, I'm Rami Makhlouf. Complete our tour around the NFC North with Jeff Rieger, our former colleague here at The Fan, now at 97.1, The Ticket in Detroit. We'll talk some Lions with him coming up at 5:35. Between now and then, here's what you have to pick from in this evening's Great Lakes Dragaway Pick a Lane. Right lane, halfway point of the season. How do you feel about the Packers' playoff chances? Left lane, who's most responsible for the state of the Packers? Ted, Mike, Mark, or us, or somebody else? And the return lane, how long will you wait for the Packers to turn this thing around? 414-799-1250. You can tweet the show at 105.7 FM The Fan. When we talk about the Packers' playoff chances, yeah, we can look at their schedule and try and decipher how many more wins and losses they have on their schedule right now as they sit at 3-4-1, but that would be short-sighted, Sparky, if that's all we did. You have to look at the picture around the rest of the division and around conference, the rest of the NFC. And right now, if the season ended today, the Rams, Saints, Bears, and Redskins would be your division champions, and then the Panthers and Vikings would be your wild cards. On the outside looking in, ahead of the Packers are the Falcons at 4-4, Seahawks 4-4, and the Eagles at 4-4. So, Sparky, there's two paths to the playoffs for the Green Bay Packers. One is leapfrog both the Vikings and the Bears in the division. And again, when we talked with Lawrence Holmes and did the win-loss thing from 670 to score in the 2 o'clock hour, he had him finishing with 9 wins, maybe 10. And then with Phil Mackey of ESPN 1500 in the 3 o'clock hour, he had them finishing at about 9 wins to end the season. So, Sparky, if they're right, if those prognosticators, those experts on their respective teams are right, do you think the Green Bay Packers can take the division or leapfrog 4 teams to take a wild card?
I think they have a better chance of taking the division than they do the other things at this point, because I think they do have a chance of maybe winning 6 of the last 8. I think 6 of the last 8 was what I said, 9 wins. And then you start talking about how this whole thing plays out. Now, there wouldn't be a tie necessarily with the Bears and the Packers, because the Packers have that goofy tie. But if it's the Vikings and the Packers, then you start talking about tiebreakers and how that whole thing plays out. They both end up with 9 wins. I still think, when you start talking about, you know, their playoff chances, I still think they can make the playoffs. But they can't lose more than 2 games in this stretch. That's it. They get 2 losses and that's it. So if you lose to the Dolphins, and I don't think they will, I think they blow the Dolphins out. But if they lose to the Dolphins, now you're really affording yourself either no more opportunities to lose if you think they need 10 wins, and one more time to lose if you think they need 9. And as you heard Ryan Wood just say, it's a short week because they play Seattle on Thursday next week. So they play Sunday. And Rami, remember that was a noon kickoff? Mm-hmm. They move that thing back to 3:25. So now you have even less time after that game to get your body ready to go on Thursday, less time to rest because you play later in the day on Sunday instead of the early game. So that didn't help the Packers out either at this point.
So put a percentage on it. How do you like the Packers' playoff chances? I got them at about 50-50.
I'll say, I don't think their schedule's that tough. So I'll say 70%.
I don't think their schedule's that tough either, but and we only did it in the NFC North. We didn't even look at the rest of the teams in the wild card picture. The Vikings and the Bears' schedules aren't that tough either. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And again, we can't just look at what the Packers have in front of them when considering that question. In the right lane, halfway point of the season, how do you feel about the Packers' playoff chances? I got them at about 50-50. 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Moving to the left lane, obviously, this Packers team is not where most Packers fans would want them to be, Sparky, and where they'd want them to be is sort of the Rams of the conference, or maybe even the Panthers of the conference, one of the teams that folks are talking about as one of the powerhouses in the NFC. Who do you blame, or who's most to blame, for the fact that the Packers seem quite a ways away from being that type of team. We have a suspect lineup for you. You don't have to pick from this lineup, but Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy, Mark Murphy, or Russ Ball.
Did you just say they're quite a ways away from being one of those teams?
Yes. We'll get to that in the return lane. Just hold your horses. Answer the question.
Oh, my God. Gary, man, you've got to work.
Look, I just got.
Gary's got to work longer than 2 to 4 from now on because I can't handle much more of this. Okay, so Mark Murphy. That's yes. who I'm going to say. That's who Gary Ellerson said earlier today as well. And part of the reason is.
My answer to this is also going to confuse you as we move into the return lane.
You just confused me.
You're
going to
make him start drinking again.
On day-to-day life, yes.
Those, you know, all those whiskeys before Wendy's.
I got to tell you something. Last night, before we went to bed, I told Kat, I said, I'm having.
You took a shot?
I'm having a Jack and Coke because I think it'll help me sleep better.
Yeah.
So I didn't even finish the whole thing. I drank half of it, and it was like 1 in the morning because I was up watching election coverage.
Right.
So once the Milwaukee absentee ballots came in or whatever else, and there was a decisive difference, it turned off Fox 6, and I was like, all right, I'm done. And went to sleep. Man, it did make me sleep better, man. Jack Daniels and Coke made me sleep better. Yeah.
Just mellows you out.
Man, it was good. I'm not saying I should do that every night, but that worked out all right last night. So Mark Murphy. I think this is kind of on him because, you know, for the last couple of years, we've heard from people in Green Bay and people that cover the team. Now, again, not on the record because nobody wanted to get in trouble with the Packers, that it didn't seem like Ted was necessarily Ted anymore, that something was amiss, something wasn't right, something was going on. Then we hear that Russ Ball, they put kind of in charge of the whole thing last year at some point. If you knew, and he must have known, if the people covering the team could figure it out for the last 2 or 3 years, make the move then, right? You don't wait for it to go the way it went before you then finally make a move. Then you put Russ Ball in line and ready to name him GM according to Bob McGinn, and then Mike McCarthy finds out and says, oh, no, you're not. I'm not down with this. So then what do you have to do? Oh, no. Now what am I going to do? Oh, I know. We'll come up with this goofy power structure to make sure all my kids are happy. Mikey, you come to daddy. Russ, you come to daddy. And Brian, oh, cute little Brian, you're my GM. You come to daddy too. And all you kids are going to be happy. That's what he came up with.
That is what he came up with.
Just, I mean, seriously.
Essentially, that's what he came up with.
So stupid. So, yeah, this is on Mark Murphy, folks. That's what it is. So now your coach is going to be gone because you only gave him a 1-year extension before the season, further telling him you don't buy into him and you're ready to make a change. So he's gone, providing he probably doesn't get to a Super Bowl. He's out of here. Then who makes the head coaching call? That's what I can't wait to see. Whose call is that going to be? Is it going to be Brian's? Is it going to be Murphy's? Is it going to be Ball's? Or are they going to say, we're all going to sit down together and make the decision together? I mean, I don't know. But whoever it is coming in next, I guarantee you, will not report to Mark Murphy.
All these people.
The next coach is going to report to the general manager.
All these people that we're talking about, Mike, Mark, Ted, Russ, all deserve some part of the blame. Anytime things are this far from expectations, there's plenty of blame to go around. But the guy I'm pointing the finger at, if I have to point a finger at one person, is not on that list. And it's Aaron Rodgers. All these guys were operating under the assumption that Aaron Rodgers would perform at a Hall of Fame level.
Doing the rest of the show yourself. I'm going home.
No.
I'm
going
home. Yeah.
It'll all make sense in a minute.
No, it won't.
It will. But seriously, if you're, and actually it kind of goes hand in hand with what I'm about to say and what I did already say about the topic in the return lane. You were operating.
I'm not talking about the return lane. This is you.
You were operating under the assumption.
That, a question.
That you had a Hall of Famer under quarterback, and he hasn't been a Hall of Famer this year. And when you give that type of, Bob McGinn laid out the case, when you give Hall of Fame type money to a guy and you're getting middle of the road type of performance, and he's not masking the problems that he's masked for you in previous years, this is where you end up. This is where you end up, and it's on Aaron Rodgers to become Aaron Rodgers again this season, and I think he will, for them to get where we were talking about in the left lane, which is a playoff berth. So that's the right lane. Excuse me, that is the left lane. Who's most responsible for the state of the Packers? Ted, Mike, Mark, Russ, or somebody else. 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. And moving to the return lane, want to know, how long will you wait, Sparky, for the Packers?
No, don't Sparky me.
To turn it
you,
around.
You, after all that stuff you just said, you answer this question.
Okay, I will answer this question. Sparky said earlier that...
Now listen closely, folks.
Sparky said earlier that it's going to take 3 years to get back where Packers fans want this team to be, because he assumes that Aaron Rodgers' health problems are going to continue and that the slide in Aaron Rodgers' quality of play will continue.
Play at the level he's playing at.
So it's going to take 3 years.
That's what I figure he'll do.
I say that if he's right about Aaron Rodgers, which he's not.
And I've got him in the Super Bowl in 3 years.
I got Aaron Rodgers is going to return to a Hall of Fame level of play this year. And that's what's going to get them to the playoffs, as I just said.
You have no basis or meaning. You just think the flip of the switch is going to work again, like you said
the
other year.
Yeah, because he's that good.
Okay.
And I said that before, and I was right.
Well, that happened before or after they fired McCarthy.
And I'll be right again. Aaron Rodgers will be good enough, which, in my opinion, is a Hall of Fame level of play to carry this team, to drag this team into the playoffs, but not good enough to be in the discussion of like I said before, the St. Louis Rams, that team to beat in the NFC. They're not going to reach that level this year. Mm-hmm. No matter what Aaron Rodgers does, they're not going to reach that level this year.
No matter what they
do
the rest of the year, they're still not going to be good enough to go to the Super Bowl.
They are not going to reach that level this year.
Perfect.
Where they are legitimately in a discussion with the St. Louis Rams and other teams that people see as the powerhouses, the teams to beat in the conference. But
this is good. Now listen closely.
You have an offseason where I'm assuming you're going to make a change at head coach. You get that right, which is where it all starts. You have a ton of money to work with in free agency if you let Bulaga, Matthews, Cobb, and others walk away. And you have as much draft capital as anybody in the draft other than the Oakland Raiders this year. You have every swing, every opportunity at the plate to get this thing right and get it fixed up to the point where if Aaron Rodgers is playing at a Hall of Fame level, you should be in that discussion that I'm saying you need to get yourself in by next year. Hmm. By next year.
You said they're a ways away in the last hour.
Because there is
in the second lane.
Because there's plenty to be done, but there are plenty of opportunities to do it.
You're saying
If you get it right, you're saying
Brian will be perfect this offseason, won't miss like David Stearns hasn't missed.
No, because
it'll be fine.
You have a margin for error if Aaron Rodgers returns to Hall of Fame level play.
Yes.
It's all contingent on that. Everything I've said in these last two lanes and in the last 5 to 7 minutes or however long I've been talking about this is all contingent on Aaron Rodgers returning to a Hall of Fame level of play. So I don't think I contradicted myself at all, and I don't know why you're so frustrated. We've reset the big topics discussed on today's big show. Now you get the final say. Right lane, halfway point of the season. How do you feel about the Packers' playoff chances? Left lane, who's most responsible for the state of the Packers? And the return lane, how long will you wait for the Packers to turn this thing around? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan and pick a lane when the Wendy's Big Show returns. Swenny's big show in the midst of Great Lakes Dragaway Pick a Lane before we complete our tour around the NFC North with Jeff Rieger of 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. He'll join us to talk some Lions coming up at 5:35. Let's get in as many of you as we can between now and then in these three lanes. Right lane, halfway point of the season. How do you feel about the Packers' playoff chances? Left lane, who's most responsible for the state of the Packers? And the return lane, how long will you wait for the Packers to turn it around? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. Let's go right out to your calls and right out to downtown. And Mike, you're on the Wendy's Big Show. Pick a lane, Mike.
I don't know what lane it is, dude, right. But it's the one with do we go after the GM? Is it is it McCarthy?
Who's to blame?
So
yeah.
Forth?
Yeah.
I want to say it's this. It's basically this. When I played ball, and that you have your locker room. And let's say it's 90%, 10%, you know, the camaraderie and the whole team's there. And that 10% of the team quickly joins in. And I think, you know, we had that 5-4 years ago or whatever. But I think with the in and out of players, injuries, free agents here, there, in the locker room, I'm going to say it's about 60% of guys ain't with it. They're just worried about their position. And we got Rodgers and the 40% guys, Rodgers, Daniels, and so-and-so. But we're not together. We're not a team like it used to be, 7, you know, 8, 6, 5, 4, 3, whatever it is. But it just seems to me, guys, that, I don't know, I would say starts in the locker room and with the fellas and being together. And if you ain't have that, I don't care who's coaching or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate the call. And yeah, I see what he sees for sure, Sparky. I think that, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. Actually, you weren't here. I was flying solo for the first hour of the show last week.
You mean when I was here?
Yeah, I was all alone.
I'm not letting that go.
And no, you shouldn't. Yeah.
And I think that, there, I mean, you can go all the way back to Demarius Randle last year of guys who are defiant, who are willing to speak.
Putting them anybody's crap.
Guys who are willing to speak out against their coach or against a teammate, whether it's with their name attached or anonymously. There is a trend now. And I don't know if you can sense it, but when we talked with Brian Bulaga about these very same issues, I got the sense that there is some sort of schism in that locker room. Somewhere, some way, somehow, Mike McCarthy doesn't have complete and total control of that locker room, and neither does Aaron Rodgers from the player's side. There is some trouble in that locker room for the Green Bay Packers, and not everybody's pulling at the same side of the rope. That's how I see it, from the outside looking in. I don't have sources telling me that, other than what I'm watching happen, and time after time after time, instance after instance after instance, again, going all the way back to Demarius Randle last year, a number of incidents involving Aaron Rodgers of guys who are speaking out of school and taking things that should stay in-house out of house.
Yep, and that'll be one of the reasons they fire McCarthy.
Probably. Let's get one more call in on Pick a Lane. It's Les in Nashville. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Les?
Hey, thanks.
Oh, Les, are you there? I think we lost Les. We sure did. Sorry about that, Les, and we're out of time anyways because we got to check in with Jeff Rieger of 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit as we're going to continue our tour. Actually, wrap up our tour around the NFC North. Talk some Lions with him next, right here on the Wendy's Big Show. It's the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. We've been taking a tour around the NFC North, sort of taking the temperature of the North's teams as we reach the halfway point of the season. We talked with Lawrence Holmes of 670 The Score down in Chicago in the 2 o'clock hour. Phil Mackey. Talk some Vikings with him from ESPN 1500 in the 3 o'clock hour. Our Green Bay football insider, Ryan Wood, talks some Packers in the 4 o'clock hour. And we left the last place team for last. It is the Detroit Lions. And joining us now to talk about them is our former colleague here at The Fan, now covering those Lions and all things Detroit sports for 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. It's our good buddy, Jeff Rieger. Jeff, how are you this afternoon, my friend?
So let me get this straight. You left the Lions for last
yes.
because they're in last.
Yes. I mean, that's not how we planned it, but it worked out that way. Do you see?
I don't
actually went in order of the standings today.
Do you see any way that they get out of the basement, Jeff?
No, absolutely not. Guys, they are in a stretch of five games where they've already lost to the Vikings. They already lost to the Seahawks. And they go to Chicago coming up this week, come home against Carolina, who could be the third best team in the NFC. Then they get the Rams. Then they get the Bears. I mean, they're in a gauntlet, plus their defense stinks and their offense can't move the football. So it's pretty much same old here in Detroit, fellas. Team's not very good.
So are the fans sick of Patricia already? We haven't completed year one?
You know what? It's not so much Patricia. It's now Matt Stafford. So Stafford is in year 10, right? And it's been a decade of all these shiny little stats when it doesn't matter. It's been a lot of garbage yards. And the guy has nothing in a decade of football, being a first overall pick, making $27 million a year. He doesn't have one significant win to show for it. He doesn't have a playoff win. He doesn't even have a home playoff game. He's had multiple chances to win a division. Can't win it. 2 years ago, they had to win one game of the final three, and Aaron Rodgers clowned them at Ford Field in the last game of the season. I mean, this has been a decade of really not getting the job done. So I think for once the fans have kind of laid off on the head coach, and now they're zeroing in on the quarterback. And this is all new because it's forever it's been – well, you know, Stafford doesn't have a running game, and he doesn't have an offensive line, and you guys are being too mean to him, and he's a really nice guy that just had three kids and twins and has a good-looking wife. So guys, I mean, come on, he's a great guy. He's the best we've ever had. Now people are kind of sick of it. So for once, it's not so much about the head coach. It seems like it's more about Matthew Stafford. And also, I mean, Rich Gannon came out and criticized them. Jim Miller came out and criticized them. His wife went on Instagram and criticized the fans. I mean, Dan Orlovsky, who now works for ESPN, essentially wrote a love letter for Stafford saying he's being treated unfairly because he tries so hard. It's a mess, guys. It really is. I mean, every year it's the same old thing, but this year is kind of disheartening.
You know what's funny about that is Dan Orlovsky is actually pretty – he's a better analyst than he is a quarterback.
Yes, he is. He's a much better analyst than he is a quarterback.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Absolutely.
But, Jeff, there was a drop-off in Matthew Stafford's play. I don't remember if it was last year or a couple of years ago, and then they brought in Jim Bob Cooter as the offensive coordinator, and things sort of seemed to start to click for him. Has Cooter's scheme been figured out? Has there been a drop-off in Matthew Stafford's play physically? Why isn't it as effective as it had been when they first brought him over and made him offensive coordinator and kept him on as offensive coordinator after they hired Matt Patricia?
Well, first of all, they kept him on as OC because Stafford wanted him to be the OC. Like,
right.
Matthew Stafford, in 10 years of football, not only has he never won a big game, but he's never really said anything either. The only thing he's ever said is, I want Jim Bob to be my OC. And so, of course, you got to keep the quarterback happy. So he has been his OC. And, you know, this offense actually, during a couple games against the Packers, when Mason Crosby, I think he just missed another field goal. He missed 15 field goals, and you guys had no receivers that game. And against the Patriots home, the offense has looked good at times. I mean, against Miami, it looked great. But over the last 2 weeks, it's just can't move the football. And Kenny Golladay, who looked like he was on the uptick, he's not getting any targets anymore. And they traded away Golden Tate. And Kerryon Johnson, who's been a really big surprise, you know, finally a running back that can run the football, you know, he hasn't the last two games. So I think it's a combination of everything. I think it's probably, you know, when you're in the league for a while and people see how you play, you have to adjust to what people are doing against you. And Jim Bob Cooter hasn't done that. And, you know, so some of the play calling is head-scratching as well. Like LeGarrette Blount, you went out and got him for short-yardage situations, and sometimes he's not out there on third and one or third and two. So I think it's a combination of a lot offensively, but, I mean, I don't think Jim Bob Cooter will be here after this year. He definitely will probably more than likely be a scapegoat for this team.
Was the Golden Tate trade essentially a white flag as far as fans were concerned?
Yeah, so I think it was kind of half and half, right? So most fans, I think, got annoyed because, you know, first of all, I think if they beat Seattle, Golden Tate's still on the Lions. But I think most fans probably said, okay, wow, another year where we're not going to win anything. Another year we're not going to the playoffs. You took Matthew Stafford's best receiver, best third down receiver, and you traded him away. So I think a lot of fans did think that. Other fans thought to themselves, well, Golden Tate wasn't going to come back here. They could not reach a contract.
Sure.
He's 30 years old, and you had to pay him a lot, and you got a third-round pick for him, and I don't think anybody thought you could get a third-round pick. So I think it was kind of split, to tell you the truth. But make no bones about it. It was waving the white flag because they were 3-3 going into a bye week. And then they came a home game against Seattle, another 3-3 team, and they got the doors blown off. They looked absolutely awful. And at that point, despite only being one game out of first place in the NFC North, I think they thought this team's not going anywhere, so we might as well try to trade Tate. And I think the fans, a lot of them said, okay, fine, this season's essentially over.
I want to go back to Matt Patricia, that press conference he had the other day where he went after the media member for not sitting up straight and all that stuff. I mean, we had the guy out from
me. Aren't you proud of me?
I am proud of you, yes. I am very proud of you. We had the guy, Lawrence Holmes, out from the Score earlier, and he may even made a joke about it when he was on, about how he sat up straight through the whole interview when we talked to him. How is that received from the media in Detroit, and how is that relationship between them and Patricia?
Well, first of all, the guy that he went at is Michael Rothstein from ESPN, and they have a history. From day one, they butted heads, and I think it was just him finally getting under Patricia's skin. Now, the question was totally relevant. It essentially was, you know, how does trading Golden Tate away make you guys better? And I think Patricia either, A, didn't know what his response was going to be, so he bought himself a little time by criticizing him, or B, he just reached his breaking point, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I'll tell you one thing, though. It was national news. It wasn't at all a good look for Matt Patricia. I mean, let's be honest, guys. Matt Patricia, I'm going to say this in the kindest way I possibly can. At times, he looks homeless. for crying out loud.
That's the nicest way you could say that. That's the nicest way you could say that.
I'm sorry. He looks like a schlub. I don't know if that's any better for you. Guys, it was 95 degrees in Miami, and Matt Patricia's on the sideline wearing these workout pants and a freaking hoodie like he's trying to cut weight for a wrestling match. He must have smelled awful. And now he's got the audacity to call out somebody for their posture.
That was my reaction, exactly.
Instead of black. It's ridiculous.
And Jeff,
by the way,
now, when his name was coming up for head coaching opportunities, and people were saying that about him, that he doesn't look like a head coach. He's not as clean cut. He's not as composed as a head coach needs to look. I was defending him. I was coming on these airways and going, "Are you people idiots? Like, if he's qualified to be a head coach, what does it matter if he has a beard and wears a ratty T-shirt? And then he has the gall of all people. And there were a lot of people who came to his defense, like I did. And then he, of all people, has the gall to go into a press conference and call a guy out for his posture? Like, does he completely lack self-awareness?
Well, no, I think that's what it is. I really do believe these Belichick assistants, like they're around it so much that they literally think they can do and
yes.
get away with anything.
No question.
And I really think that as smart of a guy as he is, he went to RPI, he's a rocket scientist for crying out loud. But I think you're around it so much that he didn't adjust, and these guys don't adjust, and they need, as you said, Rami, a little self-awareness for absolutely sure, and Matt Patricia doesn't seem to have it. Now, I will give him credit. Today, many people tried to get under his skin, including me, and he handles it all pretty well.
Rieger, you don't do that.
One time, what's that?
Rieger, you don't try and get under people's skin.
No, you would never.
No trolling here, of course not, but yeah, I mean, it wasn't a good look for Matt Patricia, but he's still in that honeymoon period. I think the majority of fans make fun of him, but I don't think they're annoyed and infuriated by him like they were, you know, by Jim Caldwell his last year. But I think it's, you know, a couple more seasons of this, and I'm sure they'll be right back on the wagon.
Jeff, with our other guests around the NFC North, we went through game by game and had them predict wins and losses to come up with a final record. And Lawrence Holmes came up with 10 for the Bears. Phil Mackey came up with 9 for the Vikings.
You really going to ask Rieger
no,
this?
No, I'll spare you the pain, dude. You've already laid out the fact that – I mean, do you want to? Do you want to do it? We can do it if you want.
I'm more than happy to do it, but, I mean, I kind of feel like you guys are punishing me. You know, we talked to the Bears guy, and he got 10 wins, and we talked to the Packers guy, and you guys got 10 wins.
All right, real quick. Let's just fly through it. Bears, win or loss?
That's a loss.
Panthers, win or loss?
Absolute loss.
Bears again. Is that another loss?
That's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, you know, that's the hell. Give them one.
All right.
Win. That's win number 4.
And they got the Rams. That's a loss, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you guys know. Yeah, that's a loss.
At the Cardinals.
I'll say that's a win. Why not?
All right. At the
that's
Bills. At the Bills.
You know what? I'll give them a win.
Okay.
They're on a winning streak currently now. That's 2 in a row.
Hey, that's a 2-game winning streak against you know, 2 really good teams.
Then they host host the Vikings.
That's a loss.
And then they're at the Packers.
That's a loss too. So what do we got? 6?
Six
yeah,
wins.
You got him at 6 wins.
That'll get Stafford an extension.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? Not only am I making fun of the team, but you guys are making fun of the team. That's what it's like to be a Lions fan. The other thing too, guys, I'm sure you had on your other guest, and there was actually hard-hitting analysis, right? There was probably what they can do, who they like, what scheme to run. But when you talk about the Lions, you can't talk about any of that stuff because the whole thing's such a carnival that you're forced to talk about, as you guys mentioned, Matt Patricia ripping on somebody's posture and things of that ilk. It's very sad.
Rieger, just remember, Bo Ryan's better than Tom Izzo, and that's all you need to know in life.
That is Jeff Rieger, 97-1, the ticket in Detroit.
Quick,
yeah, go ahead.
I would agree with that. Do you guys still hate Ryan Braun? Is he?
I'm not a big Ryan Braun fan, no.
No, there isn't a lot of venom for him around these parts nowadays. Yeah. I mean, people haven't forgotten, but it's died down.
Okay. I was rooting for you guys. I wanted you to take out the Dodgers.
Follow him on Rieger, Twitter, @Rieger1984.
Of the nicknames you had when you worked here, one was 911 from the famous incident where you had the cops called,
yeah,
and Rami got right, and Rami got profiled. That so we know about that. But then I was reminded by a former sales guy of ours, Kevin Stone, is that your other nickname was Downtown back in the day.
Downtown?
Yeah, because he was Mr. Party back in the day.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Well, I got away from Detroit, and I did indulge in the Milwaukee scene. And Downtown was when we were in a dart league, if I remember correctly, a station dart league, and then we did some drinking afterwards.
Yes.
There was also one time, believe it or not, the one time in my life in Milwaukee where an attractive female, Stonis brings this up, she was hitting on me. Like, the one time in my life, she was hitting on me. And for some reason or another, I told her I had to go home and do laundry. So
Jeff, thanks, man. I always appreciate it.
Yeah, boys, good talking to you.
He drives us out of the Great Midwest Bank hotline.
Man.
Start your renovation
that,
journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935.
You think of the characters that have worked on this station. Oh, my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn and Sheets will make you sleep better at night. Makes me sleep better. Will make you sleep better, too. And if you sleep better at night, you feel better in the morning. If you feel better in the morning, the rest of your day should go better, too, right? It all is one happy family of things that go well when you have Brooklyn and Sheets. Named the winner of the Best of Online Bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Raving reviews from Business Insider. Founded in early 2014 by a husband and wife team, Vicky and Rich. Their mission is simple. Bring five-star hotel quality sheets to everyday life. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. Did you realize that most bedding is marked up as much as 300%? Plus, different colors and materials to choose from to go with any bedroom decor that you may want to match it up with. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com is giving you an exclusive offer just for Big Show listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code SPARKY at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love your new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code SPARKY, S-P-A-R-K-Y, at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com. Promo code SPARKY, Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever.
Final segment of the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. We haven't talked, I don't think we've talked on this show yet since they were officially announced, and we only have a couple minutes left to do it, which is really all they deserve, about these Mecca-inspired uniforms that the Bucks are wearing for the My City Edition jerseys. Anthony, have you seen these? You look
we've
confused
We've had so
right
much
now.
Fun all day, and you're going to ruin it like that?
Those things are hideous, dude. And I saw before they were released, two versions leaked. The one that they ended up going with, which looks like some sort of European League soccer jersey. I'm not the biggest
soccer
guy. Don't they?
Or it's like a new age minimalist version of like the Broncos, like early 60s jerseys.
It's
awkward shades of like reds and browns and yellows and oranges, and
it's inspired by the Mecca Court, but all it shares with the Mecca Court is the colors. The other version that I saw, which actually looked like they printed the Mecca Court onto a basketball jersey, that looked awesome. I would wear that. These things that they decided to use.
Since when have you cared about your fashion sense? I see you wearing like Cubs and Bears stuff all the time.
Because I have great fashion sense, and now your mic is off. You see, you almost made it through a whole show without your mic getting turned off, Anthony Mandel, and then you got the baby Tausch treatment. Our thanks to Lawrence Holmes of 670 The Score down in Chicago for joining us, as well as Phil Mackey of ESPN 1500 in Minneapolis, Ryan Wood, our Green Bay football insider, and Jeff Rieger of 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. Those guys took us on a tour of the NFC North at the halfway point of the NFL season. Thanks to you for listening and contributing to the Wendy's Big Show. If you missed anything, check out Fan On Demand at 1057fmthefan.com. That's presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Tomorrow, visits from Rob Reichel at 248, Wisconsin Insider, John McNamara at 348, Mike Clemens from Green Bay at 535, and a Throwback Thursday with Elvis. For Sparky, Gary, Anthony, Mother Plucker, right. I'm Rami. Saying thanks.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.